on 1116 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett, the Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family. And Flex Vehicle Management Service. Find out more at flexvs.com.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. So many stories have so far come out of round one, but today's clash between Hawthorn and Geelong is the killer dilla. Can't wait to see the Hawks kickstart its campaign to win three flags on the trot. They've been so good and so professional, it's hard to tip against them going all the way again. The Geelong clash has produced many thrilling encounters, with the Cats having bragging rights in the home and away season. The Hawks turned the screws on the Cats in the qualifying final last year by 6 goals. Is there no end to what Alistair Clarkson and his players bring to the table? Precision kicking backed up with intense pressure sees Hawthorn kick easy goals every week. And again today, that will get them over the line. I'm KB. That's my take.
That opens up here for Mitchell. Sam Mitchell just knocks it to Lewis. Steps around, straightens up. Jordan Lewis, there's the icing on the cake. Jordan Lewis kicks the goal.
Off-back Lewis has got four of the ball, but Langford wants to go on his own. Eventually he does give to Lewis. Lewis can line them up. 25 metres between him and the goals. That's nothing for Jordan Lewis. Celebrations all around the MCG.
Langford picks it up around the body. There's another for Hawthorn.
Wait for a big noise though. Because the siren's going to sound on this qualifying final. And Hawthorn are into another preliminary final. Are they on their way to back-to-back? The Hawks have beaten their greatest rival in the modern times, Geelong.
Well, we know that story. They went back-to-back and now they're going for an absolute three-peat. 9:42, 9:11, 16, how do you see this big game panning out today between Hawthorn and Geelong? Who wins and why? 9:42, 9:11, 16, 0433, 98, 11, 16. If you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or at Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Patrick Smith is going to join us with his famous ticks and crosses from a huge weekend of sport. Who's been the best performed over the weekend, the worst performance, who's been the star of the weekend. And also, Mick Malthouse is a little bit concerned also about the uncertainty about his job at the moment. He believes uncertainty over his contract will soon distract players, and he has concerns for his assistant coaches as well. So I'd like to ask Carlton fans, members and supporters, should the club tell Mick now if they want the premiership coach next year? 9:42, 9:11, 16. Patrick Smith will join us taking your calls. Don't forget his famous Goose and Goose nominations. You may have some early nominations yourself. Mark Allen will join us from Augusta, talking all things golf. Zappers, of course, all the A-League on the weekend. Catch up with Brett Phillips and the world of tennis. The Buzz, Johnny Ralph, will join us and bring us up to speed with all the first-round injury updates and reports. And then Weekend Siren, of course, with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake, taking your calls. But coming up, Patrick Smith.
Turned on Carlton because of your passionate hate for them. You've just pulled the wrong rein here.
It's an easy get for him. You're right, Sam.
Oh.
It's lazy broadcasting.
Kevin, they've paid a fortune to wear this gear. Yep. Okay? So Nike would have loved it. In the context of that, it is not offensive and it is not sexist.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. You've surprised me with your take. Mm-hmm. I thought you would have gone with Richmond Carlton, but I guess you're caught between your two great loves, Tigers and the Blues, and you just couldn't bring yourself to talk about it.
Well, it was on Thursday night, and a few days have gone by since then, Patrick.
But we haven't heard from you, Kevin.
But I'd certainly like to hear from Carlton fans, and I did mention Mick Malthouse is a little bit concerned about the uncertainty over his contract and the effect it's going to have on the Carlton Football Club, and also more than likely his assistant coaches. But look, the Tigers were very workmanlike, weren't they, on the weekend? I was a little bit disappointed. The margin in the end, Pat, was only 27 points. I think maybe the Tigers went with the attitude that it was a walkover game. Got jumped a little bit early. Got a bit of a rev up at quarter time, and then of course just flexed their muscles and blew up their biceps, and then all of a sudden the game was over, and then I think they just humoured Carlton then from that point on. So in the end, a good win by the Tigers, a nice little breakout game for the opening game of the season. A little bit disappointing in terms of the margin, because I think they will rue that day, because there was a big percentage to be taken there from Carlton, because let's face it, you know, they may not win a game.
Mick didn't have to wait long, did he, Kevin, to find out the game that he'd lose?
No. He did say at the start that he looked at the fixture and couldn't find a game that they weren't going to win. I did say at the time that obviously he forgot to have a look at Thursday, round one. But he's more concerned at the moment, obviously, and I'll play this bit of audio about the contract talks at the Blues.
The club have decided, not newly, not this year, halfway through last year, that my contract wouldn't be looked at until the end of next year. And they'll judge, Mark and the board will judge my performance as a coach at the end of this season, 2015. That sits okay with me, but I'm more than concerned about my fellow assistant coaches, how they feel, because now I know that they're all out, and it's whether they're worried about it, they haven't displayed that, but I'm worried for them. Well, it's not a distraction to me. Naivety will say it won't be a distraction to the players. It will be, because I've been through this at Collingwood, and I know that it was a distraction.
Well, he has been through it at Collingwood, and, of course, the mighty Blues play West Coast, got to go to Subiaco to play West Coast on Friday night.
It will only be a distraction if Mick lets it be a distraction. He's got control of that. I think he allowed his last year at Collingwood to be a distraction, and we've spoken about that. The hubris that surrounded all of that. So I think that would, if he indulges in that again at Carlton, then it will be a distraction. But if he just coaches the side to the best of his ability, and the board sits down when required and has a look at who should coach them, I think that's fine.
Well, I've always maintained that if Mick has got his enthusiasm for coaching, and he appears to have his enthusiasm still for coaching, then I can't understand why Carlton wouldn't reappoint Mick as the senior coach. But Mick is saying that, you know, he'd more than likely would like to know an answer, and also he thinks the players would like to know an answer, and also the assistant coaches. If the answer did come back and for some reason Carlton said, well, look, we think this year will be the end. We'll get through to the end of this year and then we'll part company. Would Mick continue to coach Carlton?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so, Kevin, because I don't think Mick, the tenure he's been a senior coach and the success he's had as a senior coach, I don't think he warms the seat for anybody. That would be how I'd be thinking about it too. I think if I was the coach with Mick's record and somebody said, well, look, you're not going to do the job next year, but can you just caretake us through to the end? I think I'd be on my bike as well.
9429 1116. I'd like to hear from Carlton fans and the thoughts on the Blues' performance on the weekend. Love to hear from Melbourne, Pat.
Yes,
they beat Gold
wonderful.
Coast. First opening round win since 2005. So 10 years is a very, very long time. I did see a photograph, I think it was of Nathan Jones, going back to that period of time. You know, he's got a full head of hair. Here he is now, coach, captaining the Mighty D's. But they were very, very good on the weekend. I thought Gold Coast were insipid on the weekend, and I think maybe even Rodney Eade would have thought that as well. But Melbourne were great. Jesse Hogan, a young kid we've heard so much about, played a terrific game. I thought the boys they brought in, Vandenberg and Newton, were both very, very good for Melbourne. They're big, strong kids. They get Dawes back into their side.
Yeah.
There were some good signs for Melbourne on the weekend, but I was absolutely shocked with the way that the Gold Coast played.
Oh, well, Rodney Eade reassessed the list overnight, really. He's seen them play one rigid edge game, and he now thinks they're 2 years off of finals. If that's going to be their level of commitment, they're 2 years off of finals. He thinks the talent's there, the commitment's not. So he's readjusted his timeline for sure.
Well, this is what Rodney Eade said about the Gold Coast chances for finals this year.
Are they still a few years away from challenging and playing good finals?
Oh, I still think a couple of years away at least, yeah.
That was on game day, so a couple of years away. I can remember their chairman saying not only would they play finals, but I think they'd also win a flag within 3 years, let alone play finals.
You're rethinking that, Kevin, this year?
Well, look, the only thing I can say for Gold Coast is that they were missing Charlie Dixon, and Charlie Dixon's got a bit of grunt about him. He's a big, strong bloke. He's about 6 foot six. You know, he really has a crack. It gives him a bit of physicality, a bit like Mumford, I reckon, does for the Giants. So I think they miss Charlie Dixon. They certainly miss Lynch up forward, who, again, is their best key forward. He was rubbed out during the NAB Challenge. So when they get those two guys back in the side, and I was very surprised on the weekend Matera didn't get a game, because they played three or four young kids playing their first game, because I keep thinking Matera's a good player. Now, I think he played in the last practice games, but maybe he's had an interrupted pre-season. Sometimes you don't know these things. But look, there's a bit of improvement to come into the side. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they look pretty ordinary on the weekend. Obviously, look, Gary Ablett wasn't too bad on the weekend. He's got such a high standard. But he did look like he was favouring his shoulder. Couldn't really want to lift his shoulder that much.
Yep.
You know, he didn't want to really lift it up in the air. And a few times he fumbled a bit because I'm pretty certain, you know, didn't have the confidence in the shoulder. But look, in the last quarter, he kicked a couple of goals, got him back into a position where they could have pinched the game. And then Harley Bennell gave a quick hand pass to him in the goal square, which normally he would have just snaffled and kicked a goal. Fumbled that as well. Maybe just to want, you know, the arm maybe not working the way that he wanted it to. But, you know, if Gary Ablett doesn't...
Did seem to get a heavy whack on it.
Yes, he did at one stage.
Driven into the ground, yeah.
But again, maybe if Gary Ablett's not starring, then they can't win.
Thrown up by Rodney Ead, of course, in the after-match. They rely too much on Gary Ablett, he said.
I must say, the performance of Essendon for three quarters was extraordinary against Sydney, before we go to our callers.
Brilliant.
But I was just so surprised. I thought Sydney had completely gone at three-quarter time. You know, they'd trailed by six goals at three-quarter time. And to kick seven goals in the last quarter without the Bombers scoring, I didn't see that coming. I just did not see that coming. I know a lot of their players hadn't played the NAB Challenge, but up to that point, they were fantastic. And I just didn't see... Sydney wasn't playing well.
No.
And I just didn't see Sydney kicking one or two goals, let alone kick seven goals without the opposition scoring.
Yeah, I wouldn't... there's obviously some weight you've got to put into the fact that Essendon... A bulk of Essendon players didn't have a pre-season match, but I don't know that it explains completely what happened in the fourth quarter.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll fly through our callers. Your ticks and crosses from the opening round of the AFL season, the opening round of sport.
I've been really happy with what the guys have been trying to do. We've had a really long pre-season, which has been helpful for me, which means we've been had a lot of time to get organised. This group also, when I first walked into the club, they want to get better. They've had an appetite for hard work. They've had an appetite for wanting to know how to get into structure, and I couldn't be happy with how they're doing that at the moment. We know we'll have our test though, and like I said, it's round one. We all need just to take a little bit of a cold shower.
Well, it's just playing it down a little bit. That was Philip Walsh, of course. His team is hungry to learn and soak up as much information as possible.
Do you reckon North Melbourne would hit them, Kevin?
Well, they said they were ready for an ambush, and they still got ambushed. Oh. I'd love to hear from North Melbourne fans today. Lucky they recruited Sean Higgins, who booted four goals. But I'd have to say that they were the most impressive side that we've seen
over the
weekend, Adelaide. I just wonder whether or not they are now to be absolutely feared. Adelaide, not Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Absolutely feared. And, you know, Tex Walker was extraordinary, and Chris from Point Cook wants to talk about him. G'day, Chris.
G'day, KB. How are you?
Good, Chris.
So I just want to know how proud of you were you of Tex Walker yesterday?
Well, look, I only just watched the game as someone who's a fan of football, and I just thought yesterday Tex Walker was absolutely sensational. It was probably the sort of performance we used to see from Wayne Carey as a centre half forward, as a leader, just so dominant.
Had a real presence.
Just a presence about him.
That something was going to happen.
Something, yeah. And if he had have kicked straight, he would have kicked 10 goals, Chris.
Yeah. He was brilliant, Chris.
My pardon?
Did you see his stat line?
Get his what line?
His stat line.
Oh, his stat line? You're talking about his marks or?
No, he ruined it. He got a handball at the end. Before that, he had 20 kicks and no handball.
Oh, we'll have a word to him.
Well, you know, that's something he's got to work on. He's got to get that out of his game. As we know, handballing's a fad and a craze, and it's not going to last in the game. And look, I hadn't noticed that, but I noticed he'd taken something like 15 marks. He missed a couple of easy goals from 20, 25 metres directly in front, even closer. But his presence, I don't think we've seen that sort of dominant performance from a key forward. Maybe Tommy Hawkins in, you know, one of those finals, couple of those finals. But yesterday, North Melbourne were pathetic.
They were shambolic, Kevin. Shambolic. And it showed on Brad Scott's face. I think he was totally dejected. He thought that, as you said, he said, well, this mob's going to ambush us. We've got to be ready for it. So they were expecting to be really confronted, but they had no physical response, Kevin.
No, none whatsoever.
Yeah.
And also, you know, just on Walker, you know, he brings other players into the game. Everyone was walking tall. His performance was an extraordinary one. His first game as captain as well. I can remember not that long ago. Do you remember when he wasn't playing one day and there was a photograph of him sitting, I think it was at Amy Stadium over there, having a few beers with
That's
one
right.
of his mates?
Yes.
And people were talking about offloading Tex Walker and getting rid of him.
Mm.
Well, obviously, when Philip Walsh came into the club, he saw something pretty special in Tex Walker and straight away made him captain.
Within 30 minutes, he decided he'd be his captain. How about that?
30 minutes?
Yep.
Okay, well, it was a good choice. It was a good 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
Luke joins us from Craigieburn. G'day, Luke.
How are you, boys?
Good, Luke.
That's good. Kicks and crosses for Richmond Carlton. First cross would be our first quarter. Bit nerve-wracking down there for us. Big kicks for us is McIntosh and Hunt. Absolutely outstanding they played. And you were talking about the wrecking ball, KB. We've already got one. Have you watched Stevie Morris play?
Yes, I have.
He is the wrecking ball, mate. Don't worry about Robbo. Worry about... what's his name?
Not Mitch Robinson. You're talking about you.
Yeah, Mitch Robinson. I'm talking about Stevie Morris. Watch him, mate. He's the wrecking ball.
Okay, he's the new wrecking ball. Well, that was his job on the forward line, is to run around and put a lot of pressure on the opposition and make certain they earn every kick. And
he certainly didn't get much of the ball, did he?
No, he had about three possessions. I don't think he had a possession actually after half time, but. You know, I would think some of those pressure acts, Pat.
Of course.
That we talk about, that he'd have some pretty high numbers there. But ticks and crosses, Camden McIntosh, most people thought best on the ground. Not bad for a kid who's been at the club for 2 or 3 years and has had a lot of injuries and setbacks and comes into the side and played such a fantastic game on debut.
Just looked ready made, didn't he? Strong, fast.
Probably get
tough.
The three votes in the Brownlow, I would suggest.
Yeah.
Dom's in Reservoir. G'day, Dom.
Good morning, gents. Sadly, as a North supporter, I just want to highlight our performances interstate over the last few years. Do you know that I worked out yesterday that in Adelaide, whether it be at Amy Stadium or Adelaide Oval, we haven't won there since 2003, and I think we've only won there once this century. So we don't like that hostile environment over there. And our worst performances over the last few years, even when we've been a fairly good side, have been like when Buddy kicked 13, that was in Tassie, when West Coast beat us by 96 points in a final, Sydney beat us last year in a prelim final by 71 points, I think Porter smashed us a couple of times over there, so we really do struggle interstate, and I think that we were just sitting ducks yesterday, just there to be absolutely slaughtered in front of that parochial crowd with Tex Walker's first game as captain and Phil Walsh's first game as coach, but I'm just shocked as a North supporter just how listless we were and how, as Brad Scott said, insipid.
Yeah, insipid. Look, there was that period at the start of the third quarter when they came out and they kicked, I think, the first...
Six unanswered.
Yeah, six unanswered goals. I think they kicked one before half-time and then came out and maybe kicked four or five, as you say, Pat. And I thought, you know, this could be an amazing comeback by the Kangaroos. I think they got within about 30 points at that particular point of time. But that was just the last hurrah. But up until that point, that first half, that reminded me of Richmond playing against Port Adelaide last year in the final, Pat.
Yes.
One side just did as it pleased.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear from North fans. Disappointing. Higgins was good. Jared Waite had an off day. He's better than that. He can play a lot better than that. Matter of fact, just about every North Melbourne player had an off day. But, so pretty hard to win when you can't find a good player.
There was no surety with their hands. They were fumbling. It's almost as though they were expecting the hit. And that
the pressure, though, applied by Adelaide, every time a North Melbourne player went near the ball or picked up the ball, he was being tackled by an Adelaide player. At one stage there, I don't reckon the ball moved outside of their attacking 50 for about 20 minutes, apart from bouncing the ball.
Yep.
So that poor old back line was under enormous pressure. It was as good as I've seen for a long time, that pressure.
Yep.
Dom, thanks for that. Let's go to another Dom in Blackburn. Wants to talk about Carlton. Yeah, G'day, Dom.
G'day, Kev. I've been in a coma since we smashed you in the final back in 2013. I just woke up and they told me that Betson Garland had 42 possessions, 15 tackles, 34 pressure acts, 10 inside 50s, threw 290 super coach points and kicked 6 goals. So he must have smashed it, Kev.
Yes.
Hey, seriously.
Yes.
That's got to... That getting rid of those two blokes for Thomas and we got basically ended up with pick 60 for Garlett. That is just the worst decisions, I reckon, in the club. I go every week. The forward line is virtually non-existent. There is no speed, and it's just mind-boggling.
But
and,
Dom,
and I have a look. You know, we'll win some games when the top six players fire. But you got Allard, Armfield, Holman, Graham, Giles, Warnock. If they're going to get any better, I don't know. But seriously, it's just it just defies the imagination.
Yeah. But were there other reasons than their football ability that they were moved on?
Well, not for bets, I wouldn't think. No. Garlett, of course, was involved in that with that altercation with Mitch Robinson and lied to the club. So they elected to, you know, maybe in terms of the culture of their club and what they're trying to do at Carlton, moved Garlett on, and he was picked up by Melbourne. I've always thought he was a very handy player, a goal-kicking player. I've never understood how Eddie Betts left Carlton. I've never understood that. I know sometimes people say he wanted to go home. I'm not quite certain whether he's actually gone home to his hometown apart from a practice game. They may have offered him more money. Carlton may not have wanted to offer him as much money. I don't know. Had to get Daisy Thomas into the club as well. But, look, Eddie Betts, to me, has always been a fabulous player for Carlton. Bit of an inspiration, an iconic player for Carlton. I could never understand how he left the club.
Oh, and fans love him, Kevin. That's the other thing.
The fans did love him.
Yep.
You know, he's playing terrific football at Adelaide. He's a dangerous player, but, you know, as you say, Garlett on the weekend, Garlett could have kicked four or five goals on the weekend as well. He missed some easy goals for the D's. Kicked a couple. Gave a couple away as well. But, you know, he's a good pickup. Good pickup for Melbourne, because they haven't had anyone who, if he gets, you know, half a dozen touches, might kick you two or three goals. We'll take a break. We're coming back. Sports Central, of course, and Patrick Smith, 9429 1116. I'd like to get your thoughts on some of the other games that took place on the weekend as well. Collingwood, from Collingwood fans, got over Brisbane, who finished with a rush. I'd like to hear from the Bullies. Now, that was a good performance against West Coast. And some of those young kids in Stringham, McRae and Bontempelli again stood up. Luke Beveridge winning his first
Denham
game.
Do you think Greg Denham
will ring in, Kevin? No, I don't think Greg Denham will ring in, Patrick. He should resign, Greg Denham, because he's just kept putting the boots into the Bulldogs for no reason whatsoever.
Well,
I bought him a membership for the Bulldogs to try and, you know, lighten him up a little bit.
Oh, well, he'll use it now, because I think he put his West Coast one in the oven.
Yes.
He's talking rubbish.
He just phoned through just to say that. Talking rubbish. The Giants, of course, defeated the Saints. Jeremy Cameron with four goals looked pretty good. And Treloar, who I've told you, Pat, is an absolute star.
I didn't like what happened to Nick Rewald in that, Kevin.
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back after the break. And, of course, Frio and Port Adelaide. Heard the boys talking about that this morning on Morning Glory as well. But 9429 1116, your ticks and crosses from the weekend. And who do you think had the best performance and the worst performance of the round?
I'm really proud of them, and they really deserve it. They've obviously had a tough summer, our boys. You know, they've had to deal with a lot of ridicule and innuendo, and they're terrific young men, and they really, really deserve to win tonight.
There was Luke Beveridge, coaching the Bulldogs for the first time in their big win, of course, over the West Coast Eagles. Very proud of his young Bulldogs group. Also, I've got a bunch of great prizes to give away to our best caller. Of course, I've got the 2015 Champions Collector Value Pack from Select Collector Cards. So pick up all the footy cards. You get the poster, the album as well. Also, beautiful Bataki Australian Legs of Hams, of course, always from Woolies and Coles, and also off to play some fabulous golf down at the Keysborough Golf Club. You love it down there. It's a famous sandbelt course, and whether you're a professional or a club golfer alike, you'll find it a very, very demanding and challenging layer. 9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433 98 1116. If you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet, at Kevin Bartlett 29 or Hungry for Sport. Barney joins us in Rye. G'day, Barney.
Okay, B. How you going, Pat?
Good, mate. Good.
Yeah, listen, as an Essendon supporter, I was pretty proud of the way they went about their business. Yeah. But, unfortunately, to use the fact that they had no match practice is masking an underlying problem at Essendon. And I'll tell you why.
What is it?
Anzac Day, last year, towards the end of the third quarter, 43 points up against Carlton. Lowly Carlton during the year. They were about that same up, and they scraped away with a draw. And in the elimination final against North, they had them on toast. Same deal. Over 40 points up, they got done. I just think that it was an easy way of saying, oh, yeah, the boys were underdone, and they would have been underdone. But to give up a 40-point lead, I'm sorry, I'm just not buying into that.
Pretty poor conditions too, so it was hard to kick goals. It wasn't as if it was beautiful conditions. It was pretty wet and slippery and sliding around. Mate, just can't put sides away, Barney. Can't put them away.
That's dead correct, and I hope they can
What's the answer to that, Barney?
Well, I just think that I don't know. I mean, it's obviously a coaching thing. I mean, if you can't defend, look, that's why Matthew Knight's got the Khyber, because they thought he couldn't defend a winning total, and it was Bomber Thompson, same deal. I mean, and James Hird's got to find a way to defend a 40-point lead. It can't be that hard. It can't be rocket science. It's either fitness or strategy, dropping a player back or whatever. But it's got to be fixed, because it's very frustrating as a supporter.
I'm with you there, Marcus. I don't put as much weight as the others have, as other commentators have, and supporters, and everybody saw it, in saying, oh, well, that's because we didn't have a couple of practice matches. I think that's overstating that. I think there was another issue there at play that you've identified, or you've identified something that's happening. We haven't quite identified what it is and how to fix it.
Pat, a lot of the coaches have said all along, remember early in the season we talked about injuries in practice games and whether we need the practice match series. Well, all the coaches come out and said, well, you need practice match games, otherwise it's going to be a schmozzle when you get to round one, the players won't be ready, the skills will be awful, and the games will be terrible. If Essendon had won that game, I just wonder what the response would have been for a side that had at least 13 or 14 players that hadn't played a practice game, was able to come out and beat a side that played off in the grand final, who's had a huge pre-season. What people would have thought then, and how important was it to play practice games or nab challenge games, if that's the case?
Well, Kevin, Twitter went berserk at three-quarter time with ecstatic Bomber fans saying, who needs practice matches?
Yeah. So was it the lack of practice matches in the end, or was it tactics? Or because under those conditions, it was impossible for Sydney to win that game at three-quarter time.
Well, they'd kick
impossible.
Three goals in three quarters, Kevin.
Yes.
And then they come out and kick seven.
To nothing.
One. Yeah, to nothing.
It was a big surprise. Jeff's in Pakenham. G'day, Jeff.
Hey, KB. How you going?
Good, thanks. Along with Pat. Yep.
Firstly, good to see Collingwood actually get a win for the year. But the thing that I took out of the round is how much of a difference Haredi Alabumba made a difference to the Melbourne side. Running off the halfback.
Well, he was good.
I think it was great.
He was good. Garlett was good. Jesse Hogan coming to the side was good. The other two recruits they picked up, Newton, I think, came from Port Adelaide, played well, kicked a couple of goals. And Vandenberg's a big, strong kid.
He kicked
a goal, or maybe even two goals himself. So all those inclusions into the Melbourne side were fantastic.
What did you see with Jesse Hogan, Kevin?
Well, he looks like a kid who can actually play the game, and he's not frightened to lead up. He's got a presence about himself, Pat. He's got to probably get a little bit bigger, but you know, he was able to lead up. Lots of times, you know, he was reading the game that he knew when he had to be on the wing taking a mark, or he knew he had to push up the half-back flank and take a mark. But and he kicked goals when they were important to Melbourne. You know, when they needed a goal, he took a mark and kicked a goal.
Build a forward line around him.
Yes, they can.
Yep.
Yeah, and
okay.
Dawes has got to come back into the side as well. So I think what we saw from Melbourne on the weekend, pretty promising, very promising.
Oh, no, it was exciting. And for the years in the doldrums for the Melbourne supporters to see them play with such zest and with a Paul Ruse-inspired pattern, that must have been fantastic for them. I don't know that they've won too many games, have they, first up?
Well, it's the first game they'd won since 2005.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
10 years, so Melbourne supporters had every right to sing it's a grand old flag. Dennis is in Oakley. G'day, Dennis. Wants to talk about Melbourne and Adelaide.
Yeah, good morning, boys.
Good morning.
Just to follow up your remarks about Melbourne, just the addition of quality of Lumumba and Garlett, the important thing about them is that experience quality which they've brought to the team. And plus the other things that you've mentioned. Melbourne have been bumping along in the doldrums for years. They've been adding cream by the way of draft picks to that side for a long time. In the end, the cream must start to flow to the top, and I think that's what's actually happening now.
Well, on the weekend, also Brayshaw played, who was their second draft pick. I think he was number three, I think he was. He's a good, solid kid too, Patrick and Dennis, and he played pretty well for a kid playing his first game. And I said during the commentary, a bit disappointing that Petraka went down with a knee injury, because he's also a big kid, around about 6'2" and weighs over 90 kgs, and unfortunately went down with that knee. We're not going to see him this year. And I just thought what a waste that was for him, because if they could have had Brayshaw and Petraka, I'm pretty certain he would be playing every game like Brayshaw,
thought that, Jack Watts was good, Kevin.
Jack Watts was fantastic, in fact, yeah. Pat. Just his kicking, let him down early in the game, tried too many little cute kicks across his body and a couple of little dinky kicks which didn't come off. But in the end, I mean, he kicked goals, kicked important goals. He kicked a ripper of a goal from the boundary line.
He may be ready to blossom, Kevin.
He could be. And if you get Hogan down there and you get Dawes back into the side as well, you know, the absolute pressure is not just in the focus on Jack Watts. You know, he can play. He's always shown he can play. But I just felt thought for Melbourne's sake, if Petraka had have been okay, get 12 months into Brayshaw and Petraka, just would have been fantastic. But obviously, 12 months behind. But a lot to like about him. A break and we'll come back and we'll take more of your calls.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week. On 11:16 SEN.
Patrick's famous Goose and Goose, and you can always agree or disagree before we get back to our callers. Pat, who have you got in the gun?
Well, Kevin, we'll go to Goose first.
Goose.
I'll throw this to you.
Yes.
Because you're a specialist in
yes.
this. Nat Fyfe's hair has yes. been, one of our listeners has nominated that as Goose of the Week.
Not yes, one of my strong no. points, Pat?
I thought it was.
Not one of my strong no. points. But look, he had the shoelace tied around it, I think, last night. The shoestring around last
yes.
night, just to keep it out of his eyes.
The little bun on top.
Yes, yes.
No, not quite there.
Well, he's always been pretty fluffy, hasn't he? He's yeah. always had hair going in.
Fluffy, that's a technical term, Kevin, isn't yes. it, in the hairdressing
fluffy.
Trade?
He's always been very fluffy. But but he did put the shoestring around it this time.
Well, I'm going to put a line through it. I don't think it quite has the qualities right. of Goose of the Week.
No.
Western Bulldogs went very close. Thought they were fantastic.
Yep.
I did like McIntosh's game. That was wonderful. Grant Hackett, Kevin.
Yes.
Back in the World Championships.
Looking for maybe a little bit of more credibility, Pat, after the trials and tribulations of recent years,
and
going back to something he knows well.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful if he could do that.
He's off the World Champs.
Yeah. But, I mean, what I meant was...
Oh, his credibility.
Know, stack his life yeah. back in order again. But I've given it to Tex Walker and his six goals, Kevin. I thought he was...
Well,
he was the game in that first half.
He was... I don't know whether we've seen... I know Buddy's played games like that before, and I did mention Tom Hawkins, but it was the opening game of the season. It was such an outstanding performance, one of real presence, that hard to go past him. His performance was just... Well, it was dominant.
Yeah. Now, Goose. A lot of nominations for Goose.
Mm.
North Melbourne.
North.
Bontempelli? No.
Bont?
I'm reading the wrong list. Canterbury Bulldogs.
Oh, Canterbury Bulldogs.
Skipper James Graham and the crowd reaction. That was awful.
Well, I'll talk to you a bit more about that when we take some calls.
Yeah. A couple for Brad Scott.
Brad?
Yeah. Yeah, lamenting that he hasn't really...
Got ambushed?
Yeah. And the game day entertainment, that got a hammering, Kevin. Fan engagement, yeah. game time.
Did you see what they did in Adelaide as part of the fan engagement after the game, Pat? They actually stayed out on the ground, the players, went across to one section of the
yep.
crowd and formed a circle and sang the theme song.
And pulled some of the crowd into the circle. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fan
yep.
day experience.
Yeah.
Everyone else would do that.
But it wasn't... It wasn't favourably received on Twitter last night.
Okay.
But I simply had to give it to the two Collingwood boys, Lachlan Keefe and Josh Thomas, for testing positive to a performance-enhancing drug. I know there'll be samples to come. But to get themselves in this position is just crazy.
So they are the geese of the week, and Tex Walker is the goose.
Yep.
Agree or disagree with Patrick. Graham joins us from Essendon. G'day, Graham.
Hey, KB. My goose of the week, Pat, is that umpire who changed the result of the Sydney-Essendon game, who changed that free kick to the mark that Hurley took in the last 10 minutes. And they reversed it and gave it to Franklin. Then they went on and kicked three goals. What's his repercussions next week? Does he get to umpire?
Oh, well, I mean... All umpires' performances are reviewed, and if that was deemed an error, then it will be, you know, he will be marked down for it.
I'm trying to remember that one, Graham. That was right near the point post, was it? And they were sort of both falling to the ground. Is that the one?
30, 40 metres out, KB.
Was it?
And they Hurley took the mark, and the umpire reversed it. And then on the replay, as a commentator, said, oh, that's disgusting.
Was it? What was it reversed for? What did something?
A block in.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, no, no. I remember that one, Graham. No, he sort of tunnelled underneath him a bit. You know, I think the umpire had to pay that one myself because, you know, did you remember that one, Patrick? Hurley was...
Oh, I'm just trying
there
to
was a mark,
it,
There was yeah. a few other people in what was going to be a bit of a pack, and Hurley sort of pushed him under the ball, you know, just
yes.
kept working him under the ball and pushed him out of the contest, you know. Look, I think, Graham, that the umpire under those circumstances can't push, block, bump or hold in a marking contest unduly. I think they had to pay that one. There was another one which I thought it was Hurley who I thought maybe took an actual mark, but it wasn't paid. Hound Dog joins us in Northcote. G'day, Hound Dog.
Yeah, good morning, boys. I think you're jumping the gun a bit, KB, with the Blues, mate. I know it's only round one, but the alarm bells are ringing. Our fuel kicking was horrible. They're kicking it 10 feet over our blokes' heads. No leadership qualities in the middle. They are warning signs. I'll tell you what, if they don't improve on Friday night, I'll tell you what, mate, those drum beats are going to get louder. If he's 2-10 by halfway, mate, I think he's cactus. You're right.
But what about, I mean, as a Carlton fan or member of supporters, should the club tell Mick now if they want the premiership coach for next year in 2016?
Like you said, I said I reckon it's performance-based sort of thing, KB. They're going to see how he's obviously going. If it's the missus aren't getting, he's not getting through to them. I mean, you know, their game style, game plan, whatever you want to call it, doesn't change or gets more effective. I think it's obviously not working. And, yeah, see you later.
I was a bit surprised that Casbolt wasn't in the side, but I did see on the weekend Mick was saying that his practice match form hasn't been very good. He's disappointed during the practice match period. So as a result, couldn't find himself
Liam
in the
Jones,
side.
Liam Jones, Kevin?
Took one goal off the pack. First kick, I think, for Carlton, kicked a goal, which was good. Then he kicked another goal. Dropped a couple of marks again, which has been part and parcel of his career when he's had the, you know,
didn't
the run.
Didn't do enough, though, did he?
Not yet, but look. He's just got to hold his marks. He gets up there.
Well, it was a bulldog game, Kevin. That's how he played for the Bulldogs.
No, but this is something Carlton's got to work on. They've got West Coast Eagles next Friday night, Carlton. So that's always tough going over to Paterson Stadium. Although sides coached by Mick play very well on the road.
Yes.
They've got a good record. Then they play the Bombers at the MCG. Got St Kilda at Westpac Stadium. That's a away game. That's the one over in New Zealand, Pat, so I'm not quite
Anzac
certain
day.
About that. Then they've got Collingwood on Anzac Day. So, you know, you would think at this stage the game against St Kilda is winnable. West Coast Eagles could be a toss-up there. West Coast lost a player on the weekend. Mitch Brown on the weekend went down, unfortunately hurt his knee. So the next few weeks, and then they've got Brisbane Lions and the Giants, and then they run into a tough draw with the Cats and Swans and Crows. But time will tell. Time will tell. Also, don't forget the best call of Hawthorn versus Geelong from midday right here on 11:16 SEN with Anthony Hudson. Matty Grantham will be there. Cam Mooney, of course, Dean Laidley will be there. Rowan Connolly, Mark Robinson, Dermot Brereton, along with a host of footy guests, including Ross Lyon. Andrew Swallow is going to be there. Callum Ward's going to be there. Brian Cook and Stuart Fox from competing sides as well, and plenty more. So lots happening on 11:16 SEN. We'll take a break. We're coming back with Patrick Smith. Welcome back, Pat. I want to just ask and get your comments about what did take place as far as rugby league is concerned with the Bulldogs and the Rabbitohs. I noticed today in the Australian you've got fans won't respect officials if none is shown on the field. And this is, a blatant, aggressive attitude by James Graham of Canterbury against the referee.
Oh, well, he's clearly abusing him, Kevin, in a very overt, aggressive, almost willful way. This was towards the end, close to the end of the match. A penalty was awarded, and South Sydney beat them by a point. And when the match officials were coming off, the section of the crowd just threw bottles at them, full, and you know, one official slipped and broke his shoulder. Now, I think that you know, when you try and work out, well, why is that happening? Well, I think a lot of it's got to do with the way commentators commentate. They degrade referees. This is in all sports, really, too. The players incite it by their actions, and in the NRL, they've brought in a rule this year where you cannot comment at all on referees. You're allowed to last year, so long as you didn't attack their integrity or it wasn't over the top. It's all too late for that, Kevin. The position of the referee, we've made the public, through the media and commentators and supporters, we've made the position of the referee look inferior, an inferior part of the game. And that is why we saw that outburst on Good Friday. It was hideous, Kevin.
It was so demonstrative. Although James Graham himself says at no point did he think he questioned the referee's integrity. He said there was things I wanted to say, but I didn't.
Yes, and that's so foolish of him. He should never have said that. But we do it, Kevin. You know, when an umpire gets hit by a ball, we laugh at that. What are we saying? We're just saying that person's inferior. We can laugh at him.
Pat, we'll have another chat to you tomorrow as well. Have a great day.